Welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, a year after the United States pulled out of the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action nuclear program, Iran continues to cut back on its obligations under the JCPOA. This after the European community has failed to come up with a plan to circumvent U.S. sanctions against Tehran. Iran says based on the international agreement, it is its right after the agreement was breached by others to lessen its own cooperation under the JCPOA. And this may lead to Iran ultimately totally withdrawing from the JCPOA. Stay with us as we take a look at all of this and what it may mean on this debate.
Iran has started enriching uranium to higher grades than the 3.67% ceiling set under the 2015 nuclear deal. Spokesman of the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran, Behruz Kemalvandi, said the move comes after the European signatories to the deal failed to fulfill their obligations within a two-month ultimatum Iran had given to them. With this new announcement, Iran is now not bound to any cap on its uranium grade.
Today is the 60th day, and our previously announced deadline is over. We predict that tomorrow morning, when the International Atomic Energy Agency takes its samples, we will have gone beyond the 3.67% level.
Iran's decision comes a year after the U.S. unilaterally left the deal, which is also known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. In May this year, Iran exceeded two other obligations concerning the stocks of low-enriched uranium, as well as the volume of heavy water, while giving the EU 2 months to come up with ways to offset the effects of the U.S. sanctions on its oil and banking sectors. Prior to the end of the first deadline, the EU announced that it has initiated the long-awaited financial mechanism, dubbed INSTEX, which allows non-dollar trade between Iran and Europe. However, Tehran says this mechanism is not strong enough to ensure Iran's interests under the JCPOA.
We have not pinned our hopes on INSTEX. If INSTEX comes into effect, it will serve just a small part of Iran's interests.
Upon Washington's request, the International Atomic Energy Agency's Board of Governors is set to hold an emergency meeting on July 10th to discuss Iran's measures regarding the JCPOA.
A joke has recently been made by the U.S. when it called for an emergency meeting at the IAEA. The U.S. is the prime violator of the nuclear deal and abandoned it altogether.
Now with the resumption of uranium enrichment above the JCPOA limit, the EU has 2 more months to take action to keep the deal alive. With the end of the second deadline, Iran will enter the third phase and will suspend another obligation. This as Iran maintains that its new moves are not a violation of the deal, but its rights under paragraphs 26 and 36 of the multilateral accord. In a tweet on Sunday, Iran's Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif called Tehran's steps, quote, remedial measures aimed at protecting its interests in the face of what he called U.S. economic terrorism. As the second phase of Iran's JCPOA measures goes more serious and touches the U.S. and Europe's sensitivity, it is deemed in Tehran as the only way to stop Europe from dilly-dallying and force it to materialize its promises under the deal. However, Iran says its new measures are reversible once other parties to the deal fulfill their commitments. Youssef Jalali, Press TV, Tehran.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program, Marcus Papadopoulos, publisher and editor of Politics First out of London, and Frederick Peterson, senior U.S. Congressional Defense Advisor out of Richmond. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let's start this off with Frederick. Yeah, what do you think about Iran increasing its uranium enrichment over the 3.67 level, which it agreed to under the JCPOA?
I think that this is a very, very dangerous game indeed. There is only one reason why one would increase to those levels the enrichment of uranium, and that is to produce weapons-grade fissionable material. There really is no other reason why one would exceed that, and And this merely reaffirms the reason why the United States has hesitated to go forward with this agreement, because of the fear that was the ultimate intention of Iran all along. All Iran is doing by this action, by this affirmation of the fears expressed by the United States, is underlining the rightness of the direction of thought that led to the withdrawal of the United States.
Mm. I should say, Frederick, you know, when I hear you, what comes to mind,
game of chess.
You know what comes to mind, Frederick, when I listen to you, be damned if you do and damned if you don't, basically. Of course, Iran continues to say it's never had any kind of ambition for any nuclear weapons. But let me get Marcus in on this. Marcus, why, in your perspective, hasn't the EU been able to come up with a viable alternative to Washington's sanctions?
Well, not only was that analysis just now simple-minded, but it was also regurgitated bile. Let me make something crystal clear for your viewers. Iran has been in full compliance of the JCPOA agreement. Indeed, the European Union has said so on numerous occasions. It is not Iran that has caused this crisis surrounding the JCPOA. It is the American government. It is the American government that withdrew from this agreement, an agreement that went a great way in promoting peace and stability in the Middle East. And why has the Trump administration pulled out of this agreement? Firstly, because Donald Trump is beholden to Saudi Arabia and Israel. And secondly, Trump wants to use all sanctions at his disposal to destroy the Iranian revolution and to bring down the Iranian government and return Iran to how it was in the days of the Shah, namely an American vassal state. Now, whilst I applaud the European Union's commitment to the JCPOA, the Europeans have to do a lot more. So it is encouraging that the Europeans introduced the INSTEX purchasing system, but that system must apply to oil purchasing. Why? Because Donald Trump is trying to asphyxiate the Iranian economy by going for the jugular, and that jugular is Iran's ability to sell oil abroad. And if Iran's ability to sell oil abroad is jeopardized, then that will be a very serious challenge to the Iranian economy. And I should also add this as well, that Iran has every right under the JCPOA to take actions in order to defend its economic interests, if its economic interests have been threatened because of non-compliance by parties relating to the JCPOA. It stipulates that very clearly, that Iran can take those measures. It states it clearly in the agreement itself.
Well, Frederick, what about that? Because that's part of the agreement, that if one side one part entity actually reneges on it, Iran does have the right to cut back on it. And what the Iranian officials have been calling this is economic terrorism, referring to what the United States is trying to do to Iran. So with all that, taking all that in consideration, you still feel that it is not Tehran's right to actually cut back on the agreement when other parties have basically made it null and void?
No, Iran certainly does have a right to do that. And let me offer your other guest some more simple-minded, regurgitated bile, I guess, as he calls it, and step back from this and take a look at what the agreement attempted to do at its very heart. There are agreements that are written in words, and there are agreements that are written on the heart. The heart of this agreement was an attempt to prevent nuclear proliferation, very dangerous nuclear proliferation within the theater and what the potential of enriched uranium would provide to Iran, it would also incentivize to Iran's competitors, shall we call them, within the region to do the same. They would be dragged against their will to a strategic situation in which their only alternative was also to invest in an attempt to create nuclear weapons. So that was at the heart of this agreement, was the ability to take fissionable material and raise it to the level where it could be weaponized. President Trump and the United States backed away from this agreement because the agreement was flawed at its ab initio. From the very beginning, it was flawed in not only in intent, but in principle. It was flawed because it did not achieve what its public relations portended it to be, and that is a permanent abjuration of nuclear weapons from that region. It enabled that, and we're seeing now that Iran is playing the music and dancing the tune
by coming back.
Because of course we know that the IAEA, the entity overseeing the agreement, had said that Iran had abided by the agreement. So please go ahead, answer that question. Give an example of where it was not effective or that Iran did not abide by the agreement.
The agreement was flawed because it was time sensitive. It only provided for a short period of time and enabled a walking path to nuclear weapons.
No, I'm sorry, you're
what
not answering
now
the question.
Is we have accelerated the deterioration of that very agreement.
How that agreement failed.
Hold up, Marcus.
Cite a specific example to support your case. If you cannot cite a specific example, then discontinue with your line of arguments.
I won't interrupt your regurgitated bile if you don't interrupt mine.
Otherwise, discontinue with your line of argument because your line of argument is hopeless.
You're not achieving anything but rudeness.
Go ahead, Frederick. Finish your sentence. 20 seconds.
Thank you. Okay. The simple bottom line here is there is a legitimate opportunity not to achieve the interests of Saudi or Israel or anyone else in the region, but actually to reach up and achieve a strategic historic agreement for partnership in the Middle East. That opportunity is on, has been, and will be on the table for Iran to accept, should they choose to accept.
Okay, Frederick, and we would ask then why would Iran try to even sit down and talk to the United States and enter another agreement? But go ahead, Marcus, go ahead, your comments.
Grand words, but with no substance whatsoever. What your viewers have just heard from the guest in America is a stereotypical American commentator who has a jaundiced view of Iran and the Iranian people. I asked him on numerous occasions to cite a specific example of how the JCPOA agreement has failed, and he refused to cite a specific example. Therefore, his argument is redundant. The reality is this: the JCPOA went a long way in promoting peace and stability in the Middle East. Even though I was a bitter critic of Barack Obama, I saluted the then American president for signing up to this agreement. However, this agreement is, in my opinion, virtually dead, because without America, a party to it, I don't see how it can continue in the foreseeable future. The Europeans, they are to be congratulated, but they need to do a lot more. The INSTEX system must be applied to oil purchasing. And the commentator in America said just now that Iran wants to develop weapons of mass destruction. Well, once again, that is an assumption, and no evidence was put forward to corroborate that assertion. But what we do know is that Israel has weapons of mass destruction. And what we do know is that Mr. Trump, who, yes, is very much beholden to Saudi Arabia, has announced in the last few weeks that he's going to share nuclear technology with Saudi Arabia. Now, should he do that? The question is this: why should Iran sit back and tolerate such a deadly, deadly challenge to its national security? Iran is a dignified country. It has self-respect, and it has every right under international law to defend its national security. I do not want to see any other country in the Middle East develop weapons of mass destruction. I want to see Israel's nuclear weapons dismantled. But the reality is this: if Saudi Arabia is to gain nuclear technology, then Iran has every right, politically, legally, and morally, to make sure that that threat from Saudi Arabia never materializes.
Well, what about that, Frederick? It seems rather ironic. A regime like the Saudis and that the United States would consider sharing nuclear technology with the Saudis. And of course, Iran, the leader of the Islamic revolution, has said time and time again that actually it is against Islam to actually go and try to acquire nuclear weapons, because people should not be killed in mass in that way, even if it's a war. So isn't that just very hypocritical of the Trump administration in saying that possibly they will be helping the Saudis gain this nuclear technology?
Okay, first let me note that not only does your quote-unquote professor lack manners 101 in his course, he also is an abject failure in logic 101 and in science 101. There you go, proving the first part about the manners.
I am not a professor, I'm
what
a doctor.
We have
Please get
here
my title
is
correct.
An oper-
Do continue.
Well, you could be in... We won't get into your credentials.
Go ahead, Frederick. Go ahead.
Point.
Answer the question.
Let
go
me
ahead.
Just
Do
go
continue,
back to
Frederick.
The question.
We're listening.
The question is, please try to restrain yourself. Back to third grade, maybe. Okay? What we have
oh,
here
so infantile.
Is an
Let's
opportunity,
hear what you have to say
a legitimate
about a very complicated
and,
matter.
And a high respect and regard.
Don't be so infantile, Frederick. Continue with your line of argument.
Okay, stay with me, Marcus. Hold off. Go ahead, Frederick.
Thank you. The legitimate custodian of the honor of this debate has intervened. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. What we have here is respect and honor reaching for a new relationship with Iran. This is legitimate. This is true. What has happened was the enrichment of uranium to levels that may be weaponized was at the heart and soul and purpose and origin
Frederick, my question was dealing with Saudi Arabia.
The American
yes.
sanctions on Iran. How else do you expect Iran to respond? Yes, they announced
Saudi
today
Arabia,
that they will increase uranium enrichment levels, but that is a response to the American economic
at a rugby
Don't
match,
distort
but,
the truth.
Really.
Don't distort the truth. You're mixing up the chronology deliberately.
Why don't you just take a sedative and calm down for a minute? You
okay,
might actually
Frederick,
learn something, Professor. Okay? What we have
Iran
here...
Iran never increased its enrichment levels when America was a party to the agreement. They only did that after Trump withdrew and after Trump placed bitter sanctions on Iran. Iran has every right to defend itself.
Okay, stay with me, Marcus. Go ahead, Frederick. Frederick, go ahead.
I don't want to engage in this. What we have is the threat of nuclear weapons. This is precisely what Donald Trump and the United States has said from the beginning. The spread of nuclear weapons, if it is incentivized by providing a charging of fissionable material to the level where it can produce nuclear weapons, encourages the very
Frederick, you're not answering the question. So if that is the concern, then why is the United States, want to share, want to give nuclear technology, share this nuclear technology with a regime like Saudi Arabia, if the United States is really that concerned about the security of this region and the world? Why a regime like Saudi Arabia, when Iran has never been aggressive with any country? The United States cannot find that the Islamic Republic of Iran has been aggressive, has used weapons of mass destruction, but of course the United States has. So isn't this just totally hypocritical all around?
No, it's absolutely on point and consistent.
Right, it's consistent
exactly
with American foreign policy. Marcus, go ahead.
In the beginning.
Marcus, I got 1 minute. Take it, please.
Yes, you know, Frederick's obsequious approach to Donald Trump really is nauseating. This is the reality. This is the accurate chronology.
You're into four syllables
Iran,
now. You might trip over yourself again.
Iran only announced that it would increase uranium enrichment levels following nearly a year after America withdrew from the JCPOA and following bitter, severe sanctions on the Iranian economy by America, and after the Trump administration said that it intends to share nuclear technology with Saudi Arabia. So it is action, reaction. But despite all of that, Iran has still been in full compliance with the agreement. But Iran has every right to defend itself. And if the commentator in America, and if the person in the White House who he idolizes so much is truly committed to seeing a Middle East with no nuclear weapons, then it will never share nuclear technology with Saudi Arabia, which is the leading financier of extremism and terrorism in the world.
Okay, and on that note, I'm so sorry. We'd love to continue this debate, but we are out of time. I appreciate Marcus Papadopoulos being with us, as well as Frederick Peterson. And as always, viewers, appreciate you being with us on another debate right here, coming from our studios in Tehran. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Hope to see you next time.